Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm good. But come here. I want to thank you for taking the call. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's a difficult call for you to have to take because you're living through difficult and very, very sad time, tragic times, Tom.
I am indeed.
On the loss of poor old Kieran.
Yeah. Well, Kieran was a very gentle, very loving, great guy.
Yeah.
He was my right arm. And he was my buddy. We went everywhere together. We did everything together. And now he's gone. And I have a lot of questions.
What happened?
Well, what happened was we went away for a day or two, and Kieran was left with his sisters in the house in Shanagarry.
Now, how old was he?
Kieran was 32, going on 33. He was intellectually disabled, significantly intellectually disabled. He was visually impaired. He was mildly CP, epileptic, obviously, because that's what killed him, and had some autistic-like tendencies.
Okay, so when you say he was at home, a 32-year-old at home, he would have needed care in that sense, yeah.
He was, constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. Everything would have had to been done for him, from getting up and toileting all the way through preparing his food and everything, just basically everything.
Yeah, I know. And you know, I suppose you became very close to him because he was so reliant upon you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why you'd be very close buddies. And you did everything together.
Of course. If I was walking up the road in Middleton or wherever, in Cork or wherever, because he went everywhere with us, Kieran would link me and I wouldn't even realise he was linking me.
As many a parent would love their children to do that, my friend.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But it just pulls you that much closer.
Oh, yes. A fabulous feeling. Fabulous feeling.
Kieran travelled with us. He was in Mauritius last year. He was in Germany. He was in France, Italy, Spain. He was in Canada. He was in the States with us as well. He was all over the place with us. Every holiday was planned around Kieran's needs. That was the first consideration every time.
And would, throughout all of those years, would there have been times when he would have had an attack that would have needed, you know, maybe a severe epileptic seizure or whatever, that would have needed medical intervention?
Well, let me tell you. Kieran had a status seizure, status epilepticus, and that's what killed him this time. When he was 8 years old, he had a status epilepticus. We were living in San Diego at the time. I dialed 911 over there. The ambulance was up in about 5-10 minutes. When we went into the room to Kieran first, his lips were purple, his extremities were blue. We called them straight away. Up they came. They pumped them full of Valium. Didn't work. They pumped them full of phenobarbital, and the seizure ceased immediately. He was drunk out of the phenobarbital for about 2 or 3 weeks. He didn't talk for a long time afterwards, to the point where we thought at one time he'd never talk again. But he came out of it. 8 years old, and he's 32. The ambulance took 35 to 40 minutes to come out to the house. My daughter was on her phone the whole time. She knows exactly. She said it was at least 35 minutes.
She a younger daughter to a younger sister to Kieran?
Well, Kieran was the oldest of the four. I have three girls.
Grainne, Breda, and Orla.
That's right. And of course, Grainne was in the news too, because we had a fight with the HSE over her brain surgery.
Which
eventually got done 2 weeks after Kieran died.
But on that day in April 13th, were you away?
We were away for a couple of days. We were out of the country, actually.
Your wife and yourself?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we got a phone call. After our daughter after the ambulance finally got here, and according to my daughter, from what I've been told, they kind of sauntered into the house in no great panic, telling everybody to calm down. Kieran was upstairs in the bedroom, black at this stage.
Is this in rural Shanagarry?
In Shanagarry, yeah.
Okay.
Kieran was upstairs, black at the time. And she rang us at 1:30. She said, Kieran's in the room. She said, he's black. she said, "I think he's going to die." 15 minutes later, he was dead. Now, why it took them 35, 40 minutes to come out, I will never understand. I'm going to tell you the story of 4 weeks, 3 ambulances, and see what you think. My wife, 4 weeks to the day previous to Kieran's situation, had shortness of breath. She had problems with her stomach. She had chest pains. We called the ambulance. Now, the ambulance came from Middleton. 45 minutes to come from Middleton. I live 12 kilometres from Middleton. I went out on the road to flash the ambulance down to show them where the house was. Okay, that was one. Two, the second ambulance, the following Wednesday, my daughter lives with us. She has a child. The child was 1 year old. Is 1 year, a little bit more than 1 year old. She had a vaccination that day. Now, I don't know whether it's related to the vaccination, but obviously in my family, there's epilepsy on both sides, all over the place. Not just in this generation, not the previous generations. There was never any sign of it before. Adelaide had an epileptic seizure. Ambulance was called. South Dock was called. The ambulance took 45 minutes. South Dock was here in 20 minutes before the ambulance. Now, how do you, what is that what you call an emergency service?
Well, what is, that was your wife, your niece.
My granddaughter.
Your granddaughter. And then
Kieran.
And then Kieran was 40.
Was about 35, 40 minutes.
40 minutes. Well, it's telling me that the average response time for an ambulance in East Cork is 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
HICWA
guidelines. In the case of a dire emergency, call for 11 minutes. But of course, the ambulance service says, "Oh, that's ridiculous." Now, how they say that's ridiculous, I don't know. All I know is when my son was 8 years old and he had a status seizure, we had him back afterwards. We do not have him back now.
That was in San Diego. Now, I just want to ask you about that because I'm only a layperson, but
yep.
I would have thought that if your son was prone to these type of attacks, why wouldn't you be provided with the pencil or the gun or the medication or the syringe or the needle to administer to him without having to call? Well, yep. You would need an ambulance, but you could have immediate intervention. Do you know, like, it's like what it's like knowing CPR, you know?
Yeah. Well, Kieran was fairly controlled. When he had the status epilepticus when he was 8, in America, he had been seizure-free for over 3 years, and out there, they'll take you off the meds.
Right, okay.
He was on meds constantly from then all the way through. He never exhibited any... He had petit mal. He didn't have grand mal seizures.
But what?
His neurologist said that he would not have prescribed the buccal midazolam for Kieran because he wouldn't have suspected that there was any danger.
But he died from it.
Of course.
Now, what happened when the paramedics arrived?
Of course, they tried to give him oxygen. They couldn't give him oxygen because he either bit his tongue or he swallowed his tongue or whatever, and it was so swollen, whatever. They couldn't get the tooth. Now, oxygen was not what Kieran needed anyway. And anyway, at that point in time, Kieran would have been seriously brain damaged. Seriously brain damaged. After 10 minutes in a seizure, you start to go downhill very quickly. 30 minutes, 35 minutes is miles too long.
Now, right. Yeah.
My daughter is doing intellectual disability nursing, first year in UCC. She had work training with COPE Foundation. One of the first things they taught her was how to use buccal midazolam. Now, it's very simple enough. You put it on the inside of somebody's cheek, and it absorbs into the skin. It's not even an injection, right? Now, the HSE... Their paramedics are not allowed to administer buccal midazolam.
This is an anti-seizure drug, isn't
medication,
it?
Medication, yes.
Did they have it with them?
I couldn't tell you. But I can tell you this much, if they were only paramedics as opposed to advanced paramedics, they would have not been allowed to administer it, even though they have had the training for in excess of 6 months, because the HSE will not allow them to administer it.
Why?
That's a question for the HSE, isn't it?
Do you believe that the attending paramedics had it in their kit but were not trained or authorized to use it?
I believe that it is on all ambulances.
So it was on board the ambulance. They knew, perhaps, are you suggesting that they knew that this was the best way to control prolonged and violent seizures, as is the case in the United Kingdom, but they were prevented because of HSE guidelines from using it, and therefore saving Kieran O'Connor's life?
First of all, I think the time factor would have, if Kieran's life was saved, Kieran would have been a vegetable.
Yeah, but that's not relevant to the emergency treatment, though.
Yes, well, yes. My answer to that is yes. If I believe they had it on the ambulance, and I believe that the ambulance drivers, the ambulance paramedics, were not allowed to use it because of HSE guidelines.
Was it Grainne, Breeder or Orla were there?
All three of them.
Did any of them ask, implore, beg, demand that they use it?
I don't know.
You don't know whether they asked if it were on board or not? Okay.
No. But you would imagine that, I mean...
This will become part of an inquest, won't it?
I would hope so. Now, I know a neurologist, right, who had practiced abroad. Unfortunately, I can't go into the specific details. The gentleman, there's something called SUDEP, which is sudden unexpected death in epilepsy. It's a catch-all. If they don't know what caused the death, they'll say the person died of SUDEP. It's a fudge. And if the inquest comes back and says anything other than status epilepticus, we will be fighting that.
Yes, and perhaps you were right to do that. But the coroner's report and the inquest will also detail the events leading up to the call of the ambulance, the ambulance's arrival, the reaction time, the intervention of the paramedics. That will all form part of it.
So rest
assured in that regard. How did the paramedics treat him on that day? What did they do?
He was nearly dead when they came.
Yes, but when they did arrive, what intervention?
They tried oxygen, to give him oxygen.
Yeah. After that?
His brainstem would have shut down. After that, they went and they tried CPR.
Okay. No medicinal intervention then?
No.
Okay.
Not as far as I know.
Did they know that he was epileptic? Were they told?
Oh, yeah, my daughter. I'm sure my daughter was telling him on the phone the whole way up because she was guiding him up.
Right.
No, coming back to the neurologist. The neurologist worked abroad and he never saw a case of SUDEP in all of his 6 years abroad.
Sudden epileptic death.
Now, he's back in Ireland. In the past year, he's seen SUDEP 5 times and Kieran is the 6th. If they come back with SUDEP, which they won't, because I'll make sure they don't.
What you need to determine is the role of, or the training, or the rules of the HSE regarding their paramedics and their license or their authority to use, you know,
exactly
life-saving drugs like Bucal and Midazolam. Can I ask you, though, Tom, if there was 40 minutes and I think your words, not mine, that Kieran was brain dead, what kind of a life quality would he have had, do you think, if perhaps he had been administered that drug and lived in a vegetative state? I mean, I don't mean to be unkind to you, but what do you think of that?
I wouldn't want that for my son. My son had a very good quality of life. We did everything. If Kieran wanted it and he didn't get his way, he knew how to charm it out of us. he always got his way, you know. And what he always wanted was something simple anyway, a cup of coffee. Kieran was mad about coffee. Down to the pub. He'd like to go down to the pub and listen to the conversation. Have a cup of coffee, by the way. He'd love Sesame Street, the music out of Sesame Street. He'd love birthdays. He'd love Christmas. He'd love Easter, going out doing the Easter egg hunt. He'd love all those things, but we'll never have that again.
No, you won't. Unfortunately.
Our lives are changed utterly. Utterly.
Are you more upset with the response time or the non-administration of the Buchal midazolam?
We have a health service, allegedly. My wife went into the hospital on the back of an ambulance that took 45 minutes to get here. She spent 13 hours in the A&E after coming in on the back of an ambulance before a doctor attended to her. The doctor told her to go home and go see her GP because all her blood tests were fine. A week after Kieran died, she wound up in another A&E. This time we were smart enough to go to the Mercy instead of CUH. We went into CUH and a doctor told her that in a very short space of time that she had a kidney stone. We went in with Adelaide. We were told, we can't find anything wrong. Go see a pediatric neurologist. That was about, well, Kieran is dead 9 weeks, 10 weeks, 11 weeks, about 12 weeks ago. She still hasn't seen a pediatric neurologist. She has no appointment for a pediatric neurologist at this point in time. Now, when Attractor went in, Breda has a medical card, so she didn't have to. We were charged €100 for to go in and spend 13, be abused for 13 hours on a trolley and be told, go see your GP because we don't know what's wrong with you.
Mm. And €100 for the privilege of it.
Yeah. €100 for the privilege of being abused and additionally, car parking charges. I've lived a good few places around the world and I've never seen a hospital charge for parking except in this country. Yes, I have a lot of issues. Mm. When our daughter Grania needed telemetry testing, she had to go to London for it. And this is supposed to be a health service that your pay-related social insurance is funding. Mm. My wife was a former psychiatric nurse. And they're letting frontline staff go left, right, and centre. The people who do the critical work, and they're not replacing them. It's getting worse by the second, not by the minute, not by the hour. It's getting worse by the second.
Yes,
and we're paying for the privilege of being abused by the system.
Well, it's more of a health disservice, really, as opposed to a health
Definitely
service.
Definitely a disservice. When you go in there, you're treated like a piece of meat. It's a disgrace.
Yeah. It certainly is. It will be interesting, the coroner's report in the inquest, to determine the role of the paramedics, the response time.
I will be back to you on that one when I get it.
Yes, indeed. I will talk to you again at that stage. Okay, Tom?
Appreciate that, Neil. You're a star.
Okay, commiserations to you and all of the family. Our thoughts are with you.